I'm going to be speaking today from the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. In the first part of this chapter, you'll find Paul in Thessalonica. And there he went into the synagogues and he preached and he told them about God. He told them about Jesus. And many, many people believed the message that Paul was preaching. Paul had a way with that anointing of the Holy Spirit upon him that seemed to convince a lot of people. He also had a way of irritating a lot of people, upsetting a lot of people. A great multitude began to believe what Paul was preaching. And in the fifth verse of chapter 17, listen to what it says about those who did not believe. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar. That's what envy can do in the heart of people. Envy can put a city in an uproar. Envy can destroy a home, a marriage. Envy can destroy a relationship. And my friend, envy can destroy your church. Listen to what the Bible says in Job 5 and verse 2. For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. In Proverbs 14 and 30, the Bible says this, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bone. And then again in Proverbs 27 and 4, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? No family, no church, no relationship can stand in the face of envy. The Bible says that these men who did not believe the gospel that Paul was preaching, the Bible says when they saw the multitude, they were moved with envy. When they saw that Paul was gathering a crowd, they were believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. When they saw that multitude, they got jealous. Oh, the cruelty of jealousy, when it touches a person's life, it can ruin that very life. And then it goes on to say that they set all the city in an uproar. In fact, it got so bad that Paul had to leave Thessalonica. And then he traveled on down to Berea, and there he preached also. And the crowds believed, and people turned to God, and people of high social standard in the community was coming to the Lord. And when those evil, rude Jews, when those people of the baser sort heard what was going on in Berea, they came down there and they started another problem. They upset the people. They sowed discord. In fact, it got so bad that Paul had to leave there. And they sent Paul to Athens. And this is where we find Paul, the great apostle, the great teacher from Tarsus, found himself alone in this great city. He may have come in unannounced at first, but with or without their knowledge, there was a human dynamo in their midst, one whom to watch is to be inspired. Paul carried such a charge of God's presence with him that one way or another, he impressed everyone he met. He was completely convinced of his doctrine. He never showed any inclination to waver, to question his belief, or to be afraid of any contradictions. His contentions was this: if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost. This was not born out of criticism, but of compassion. And this was a definite call to action. When he confronted a condition that needed correction, he didn't step back and shy away. When he was confronted with a condition that needed correction, winning souls was his business. Many times they had to be convinced before conversion, but he did not draw back from this task. Paul seems to make a habit of taking hold of a problem according to the necessity. There is no doubt that he saw a real need in Athens as soon as he arrived. He was not there as a member of a group. He was not attending a church convention. He stood out as an individualist who was not a part of their activities. He stood alone, and like his master, when his followers forsook him, he affirmed that his Father was with him. Paul was alone, but his attitude appeared as to be one who declared that he was never alone. Paul was alone, but he was accompanied by his convictions. Paul was there all by himself, but he was accompanied by an anointing by the third person of the Godhead, and he was strengthened by his past victories. I remember Paul saying in one place, "When I made my stand, no one stood with me." But he didn't stop there. He says, "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." Paul did not require the fanfare or the drum beatings of the bandwagon to inspire him into action. Just the knowledge of the multitudes lost and groping in darkness was enough to set him into motion. I'm going to end the lesson right here, but I would like to pose a question to you. What is it that motivates you to witness to the lost? What is the reason for your church's evangelism program? Is it just to fill up the empty pews in your church? Or could it be that it is a revenue enhancement program? This was not the case with Paul. What motivated Paul to speak was when he looked around and saw the lost and dying people who were doomed for devil's hell. When he saw that, he didn't wait for a motivational speaker. He didn't wait for his evangelistic team to arrive. He just rolled up his spiritual sleeves, jumped right in, and preached Jesus to these people.